Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside beautiful Seattle, Washington, here in the United States, North America. The purpose of Out of This World Radio is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. Today's show will be really interesting because we have some fascinating guests, including United States Air Force Colonel Billy Woodard, who will be giving direct messages from his father, Zora, from the inner earth today. Dr. Joyce Hawks from Seattle, who's a famous energy healer known all over the world for her wonderful work. Garnet Schildhauser, a famous Canadian psychic and medium, who will be giving us some very profound and important messages for humanity. Scott Lemriel, who's been in direct physical and telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 years. And my good friend, Orion Terrence Myers, an accomplished and very spiritual computer programmer who helps me with the website for the Galactic Wisdom Conference. A few days ago, I just returned from a fantastic conference in Finland called the Dreamers Conference that was held outside Helsinki. The event was sponsored by a wonderful man named Jani Granlund, who spent his savings on the event in order to bring together people who were interested in making this world a better place. And it was just an incredible, incredible event. I think there will be probably another Dreamers Conference next year about this time of the year in Finland or in Sweden. And so as the details progress, I'll be sure to post the details so you can go. During the conference, three huge Galactic Alliance spacecraft appeared over the event. And with my own eyes, I saw the three spacecraft and took pictures of them. I have pictures, and they will be posted on my radio website, outofthisworld1150.com, this weekend in the Ask Ted column. So I urge you all to visit the website this weekend to see these amazing pictures. They are actual photographs of huge Galactic Alliance spacecraft, benevolent spacecraft protecting us from any harm. I'll be having my own conference next month on June 10, 11, and 12, 2016, here in the United States in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road off of exit 111, which is an angelic number, off of the Interstate 5 freeway. If you'd like to come, please visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. During the conference, I'm told that the Galactic Alliance will also be providing several huge spacecraft to protect everyone at the event. So I hope you can come, and I do hope they will be able to show themselves like they did in Finland. The first day, Friday, June 10th, is free, and the cost for the entire weekend is just $197 with discounts for students of low income. If you'd like more information, please go to our website at GalacticWisdomConference.com. Or if you need more information, send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. Canadian dollars are accepted at par with the U.S. Dollar for my dear friends in Canada. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations, so those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially Marku in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, and everyone around the world who helped this program and helped raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, the Tokelin Hotel in Tokelin, Washington, and the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. We're looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show as well, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services, because I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much, much better place. I'd also like to thank my many friends who've supported this show, including Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends Michiko Hayashi, Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Japan. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Eric and my station manager Eric Crema, without whose help this program would not have been possible. I've also started a new spiritual mentoring program. I've been in touch with the other sides, and if you're interested in contacting those loved ones and family members who've passed on, or even pets, please give me a call at 509-750-9793, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell you, on Sunday, May 21st, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'm going to be offering something very special to my listeners. From that time, from 2 p.m., to 4 p.m. this Sunday, May 22nd. If you've lost a relative or would like to contact someone who's passed on the other side, I will be giving free readings up to 15 minutes apiece. During that time, just call me. I'll be happy to give you whatever advice I can get in touch with the other side. My telephone number here in the United States is 509-750-9793, or you can send me an email too as well at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Well, before we go on to, I've got a couple wonderful guests on here in a few minutes. I want to tell you a couple of wonderful things, upcoming events. On June 8th, 2016, Michiko Hayashi, the Global Director of the Moto Peace Project, will be giving a wonderful presentation and water ceremony at the Artesian Springs in downtown Olympia from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. She'll be dedicating a permanent memorial to Dr. Masaru Omoto's April 2010 visit to the springs. The event's free, and I hope you all can come. Then from June 10th through the 12th, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington. We're having some really interesting people coming, including Scott Lemriel, who will be here in a minute, Professor Jerry Pollack, who will be on the show in a few minutes, Alfred Weber, an international judge and UFO expert, and one of Japan's most famous Hado instructors, not a Hado instructor, but a Hado teacher, therapist, who's able to heal people with the Hado machines. He'll be there as well. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We have room to treat up to 10 people at the conference. If you're interested, please email me as soon as possible because this is going fast. And with that, I'd like to bring in my friend Scott Lemriel and Orion Terrence Myers. And Scott and Orion, are you there?
We are. We're
good.
Here, Teddy.
Good. I'm so glad you guys could come on today. Well, first, I wanted to, if you could share a little bit about what you learned at the Dreamers Conference in Finland last week.
Well, it was a phenomenal event in that it's an event like I don't think any has ever occurred before, because the first 2 days were a meeting of a private event for amongst different people who know their particular, by direct experience, their particular area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And brought together, we had 2 days to share with each other and network and get to know each other and share our truth, and then focus that towards the public, which will be on YouTube videos later on, which will be for free. But that the next 2 days of the event were for that. So it was kind of unique in that regard, and it was quite beyond expectations.
Oh, that's incredible. And Orion, you were there too, my friend. I wanted to hear your impressions as well.
Well, I was most amazed with our Hopi Indian elder presentations on how they live in harmony with the earth and how they grow crops and they bring rain when the rain's needed. Yeah, with no altercation or modification of the organic corn that they grow. And the corn's actually, you know, part of their family heritage. And it's just I've never really seen a full representation of how the Hopis lived. And it really touched my heart.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up before I forget now is that we had actually invited two wonderful Hopi Native American shamans to the event in Finland. Vernon came, but his friend, Jerry Honopo, could not come because he was diagnosed with lung cancer recently. And so at the conference, I made a request for people to donate monies for alternative medicine treatment for him. And I'm so happy that $200 came in during the conference. As soon as I got back to the United States, I ordered what's called the Two Feathers Healing. It's an herbal medicine for people with cancer, and it's very effective, actually. So I've ordered that for Jerry. He should have it by today or tomorrow. And I'm also raising some funds, additional funds, for the cost of that treatment. It's going to cost about $500. We raised $200 during the conference. So if you'd like to help Jerry with his alternative health treatments for getting rid of lung cancer, please send me a donation. All the monies collected will be sent directly to Jerry to pay for this medical treatment. He doesn't have medical insurance. It's called the Two Feathers Healing Formula. It was popularized by Susan Liberty Hall on my show last year and last couple of years. She had an interesting story where about 6 years ago, both her, Susan, and her brother were diagnosed with cancer. Her brother, who was the owner of the L.A. Lakers, had a $500,000 insurance policy that could pay for any standard Western medical treatment for cancer. So he went in, had chemotherapy and surgery, and he died 6 months later. Later, I found out that chemotherapy only has a 3% success rate. Susan Liberty Hall, having no money or very little money, instead contacted this Native American healer on the Navajo reservation, Navajo tribe, and he referred had her try this Two Feathers healing formula, and her cancer was gone in 10 days, and it hasn't returned since. And so there's a lot of people who are very interested and who use this Two Feathers healing for me with great success. So I recommended it to Jerry. I talked to him on the phone, and he's agreed to start taking it. So anyway, if you'd like to donate to that effort, all the monies will go to him. We need about another $300 to pay for the rest of the medicine, and it should really help him. You can send a donation by PayPal to my to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can just send me a check or money order to me, Ted Marr, at 1347 Deer Brush Drive, Southeast Olympia, Washington, 98513, and I'll make sure he gets that for the medicine. I wanted to comment, Ryan, that one of the beautiful things about the Hopis is that they've lived in harmony with the environment for literally thousands of years, and they're living in land right now and growing corn that shouldn't sustain any crops at all, because they have to rely upon rain. But yet when they want rain, when they want water to grow their crops, they pray to the clouds and what they call the cloud people, and Mother Nature provides, and they do get the water they need to grow their crops, which I thought was just fascinating.
Oh yeah, yeah. They also do not irrigate their crops at all. No water feed, no water hoses, nothing. Completely rely on nature for 1,000 years. And they grow good crops every year. Isn't that interesting?
That's incredible. That is just incredible. And one thing I want to make a clear note of, the Hopi do not use genetically modified corn. They use corn that's been around for literally thousands of years. And it works. It's fine. And they don't have any health problems from it. Unlike our genetically modified corn, which causes cancer, is carcinogenic. They have they live in a sustainable life, a way of life that I think it would be well for the rest of the United States agriculture to model. And with that, I want to bring on my dear friend, Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington. Professor Pollack, are you there?
I am there. How are you doing, Ted?
Good.
Good. Nice to connect with you.
Hello, Mr. Pollack.
Hey, cheery voice.
Well, cheery. The sun is shining. It's beautiful in Seattle, and so how can you be other than cheery?
Well, that's good. Well, I apologize. You know, it was funny this morning. I was so sleepy from jet lag the last couple of days, I forgot to check my personal email where you sent me a follow-up on the interview request. And I read it this morning, early in the morning at about 4:30 or 5, and I said, oh, no, I forgot to respond. But I'm so happy you could come on today.
Sure. Shame on you, but you're forgiven.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
Well, good. Well, I wanted to give people a little taste of the research that you do. In my opinion, and I'm not just saying this to say it, Jerry, but I think you're one of the world's best and most interesting water scientists. And I say that because you look beyond H2O. You look beyond just the superficial attributes of water, and you've gone into some research, including easy water. You've tested water for its memory abilities, and there's so many things that you found about water that I think the my listeners out there would just be fascinated to learn about.
Well, thank you. The water is not so simple. You know, we're taught from grade school that mm-hmm. water has three phases, solid and liquid and vapor, and you know we're stuck with that paradigm. It's so natural for us because we can identify those phases very easily. But in fact, there's a fourth phase. We call it EZ water, mm-hmm. which stands for exclusion zone water. But that's just a technical descriptor. The point is that there actually is a kind of water that's in between the liquid and the solid. It's sort of semi-solid or gel-like or mm-hmm. highly viscous. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of it. It's not just a trivial amount that's interesting only for arcane scientists dealing with trivial stuff, but it, mm-hmm. there's so much of it, and it fills our body. It's actually the kind of water that fills us. So we learned that we're two-thirds water, but it turns out that we found that the kind of water that's in our body is not really H2O. It's different. It's this fourth phase. And this kind of water is different from ordinary water in that the molecules are ordered in some way. See, if you think of water in a glass, so it consists of mainly a whole bunch of H2O molecules, and they're not organized in any way. They're randomly oriented and disposed, and they wiggle around at many billions of times per second. So that's the stuff that we ordinarily drink. But this kind of water, the molecules are well ordered and organized. It's almost like a crystal, liquid crystal. And there are a couple of features mm-hmm. of this that are particularly interesting, and mm-hmm. and lead to a lot of different implications and applications. And the first is that in order to grow this stuff, you have to have some kind of energy, and we found that the energy comes from light. So
fascinating.
Yeah, it's
fascinating.
We couldn't know this until we looked in the microscope, and we can visualize this phase. We have methodologies to do that. And one day, a student came around with a lamp, one of these gooseneck lamps, mm-hmm. and you know, out of curiosity, he shined it on the chamber, and mm-hmm. we saw that where the chamber was illuminated with the light, this fourth phase or easy water grew. Mm-hmm. It grew like crazy. Mm-hmm. And then he took away the lamp, and it came back to the original size. So we figured it seemed kind of obvious to us that light was responsible. The energy from light, photons of light, are responsible for growing this phase. And we did a lot of experiments and published papers, and it's in my book. But mm-hmm. but that was the first really important revelation that to grow it, you needed light. And the kind of light that amazing. Was most effective was not the visible light, but infrared light. And infrared light is really all over. Most people think, where does infrared come from? And mm-hmm. You see a electric range turned on, and it glows bright red, orange, and they say, "Oh, that's infrared," or the inside of a toaster, or whatever. But sure. but in fact, it is infrared, and there's lots of infrared. But infrared is generated everywhere. It's really hard to kind of to turn it off. So if you turn off all the visible light and close the shades, and the room is pitch black, you can't see anything, and you take out an infrared camera, which actually forms an image on the basis of the infrared energy, not visible light, that it receives, you get a beautiful image of everything around you. And so it's used, the principle is used for night vision, for example, in the military. But so this is this kind of energy, this infrared energy, is the energy that builds this phase of water. And because it's all around, you can't get rid of it. It's basically, it's free. Literally free energy. So you learn in chemistry classes about free energy, but this free energy is literally free. It doesn't cost you a nickel. It's there all the time, and that's why there's always a fair amount of this easy water. And sorry, I'm going on and on because this stuff is so exciting for me, but you can interrupt whenever you like.
Well, I just wanted to say really quickly, Jerry, and also to Scott and Orion, that you remember the Russian shaman that at the Finnish conference?
I do indeed.
He was fascinating. Yeah. Nikolai Orzok, I think his name was
Orshak.
Yeah, and one of the things he said on my radio show a week ago, we had some technical difficulties during that day, but a week ago he said that eventually, Jerry, Scott, and Orion, that humanity on this planet, we would become light bodies, feeding off the prana or the energy of the light from the sun.
He Eventually. So
eventually.
It's already happening.
So it's already happening.
Yeah, because, yeah, this kind of water that pretty much fills your body is indeed built by light from the sun.
Oh, that is so incredible. That is so incredible. One thing I want to suggest to my friends, Jerry, Scott, and Orion, I'm bringing on Colonel Billy Woodard, who will be channeling his father, Zariah, from the inner earth in Telos. It's a Lemurian civilization. He'll be coming on in about 5 or 10 minutes. And you're welcome to stay on if you like and ask questions if you wish of him, because their civilization is probably around 10 to 12,000 years ahead of us, and they might have some interesting things to say. I'm just offering that to you if you want to stay on past the bottom of the hour.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I unfortunately need to go in a few minutes. But,
oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. that's fine, Jerry. But you will be coming. We'll be bringing Jerry, Professor Pollock back again on my show on June 3rd from about 2:15 to 3 p.m. But Jerry, we got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you so much on behalf of all my listeners for the fantastic, incredibly interesting research you do. There's no one else in the world that does the kind of work that you do, except perhaps the Moto office in Tokyo. Theirs is a little different, the water crystals, but we're all on the same page. And I just want to thank you so much for your incredible scientific research. You're going, like they used to say on Star Trek, where no one has ever gone before.
Thank you so much. But I just, in regard to Emoto, mm-hmm. you know, so Emoto being a spiritualist, not a scientist, and we
right.
being scientists, not spiritualists,
right.
We actually got together on an interview once and we had some good discussions. And it does appear that our stuff interfaces with their stuff very nicely, because we find we have a kind of underpinning, scientific underpinning, that suggests that the kinds of things that they do, we can understand how they might actually happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I was in Tokyo a couple of months ago, as mm-hmm. as you know, and mm-hmm. made a 2-day presentation at a special kind of Emoto symposium.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, it was wonderful. Such warm and wonderful people. And
aren't they, though?
Yeah, we some felt so much at home. And
some of the nicest people in the whole world I've met at the Emoto office. It's true.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. And it was exciting to connect with them, and mm-hmm. and I could actually see some of their crystals forming in their cold room. It was really exciting.
That's
to
amazing.
See that.
That's amazing.
So yeah, you know, because this fourth phase actually is a kind of semi-solid, and so the molecules are not wiggling around at that high speed. So it's kind of like a crystal, and crystals are what are used for memory. That's what happens in a digital computer where you've got.
I have to tell you something very interesting. I was talking with Michel de Nostradamus, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
And one of the things he told me was pretty amazing. He said that the computers in the future will be organic or partially organic.
Ah, how interesting.
And he said they will be like biological entities, and some of them, Jerry, will be based on water.
Did he say that?
Yes, he told me that.
He told you that?
Yeah, he told me that last year, and I was pretty amazed.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, he just popped in. He says he's got more to tell me, too.
But
I says I got to slow down. I've been too busy. But
okay.
So anyway.
I hear you. Yeah, the memory is the next frontier, I think.
Yeah.
To figure out how exactly this occurs, because there are lots of experiments that show that the water can retain information.
Well, look at the way the Hado machines, which will be demonstrated at my Galactic Wisdom Conference.
Oh yeah,
by one of Japan's most famous Hado instructors, and of course Michiko Hayashi will be there too, translating. But what they do, the theory of the Hado machines, is that we all have a vibratory state, and when you're diseased or have a spiritual or physical problem, you have an incorrect vibration.
Yeah.
So what they do, it's like a computer box that they put their hand, you put your hand on it, and they determine the physical and spiritual causes for whatever's troubling you, and they go into past lives as well. This machine's amazing, and one of the things they told me is that the operator of the machine has to be positive and only use it for beneficial uses. If the person who's operating is negative or wants to cause harm for people, it won't work. The machine itself knows that.
How interesting. I heard the same during water memory experiments in the French lab of Benveniste. Yeah, the fellow who got crucified by Nature, the journal Nature. And one of the technicians told me that. He said, you know, there's a student who has a very negative attitude, and when she comes and sits in the laboratory right next to where the experiment is occurring, they never get a good result. And then a positive. And they asked her to do the experiment. She could never get a positive result.
But when
she was out of the room, everything worked just fine.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, next month, I've been invited to visit Telos physically, and they told me two things. Be of high vibration, and please leave your weapons at home. So I said, okay, I'll leave my weapons at home.
Yeah, what weapons?
What weapons? Right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Well,
okay.
Well, yeah. I have Billy Woodard is on the other line now, Jerry.
Okay.
You're welcome to stay on if you'd like.
I need to go, but thank you so much.
Okay, and from all of my listeners around the world in more than 70 countries, happy birthday to you, Jerry.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, happy birthday, Jerry.
Yeah.
He's 39 today. That's 39. What he said in his email. So,
I'm 38.
Thank you so much.
I hope you'll be out of your team soon.
See you folks later.
All right, Jerry. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day and happy birthday. And that was Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington, who's, in my opinion, one of the world's most famous water scientists. And now we're going to the Reno, Nevada area, Sparks, Nevada, where we have retired Air Force Colonel Billy Woodard, who is the former base commander of Air Area 51 and who's from the inner Earth. Billy, are you there?
I am.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on my show today.
But I'm not from inner Earth. I'm from Hollow Earth.
Okay. Well, I made a mistake. Hollow Earth. Wonderful. Okay. All right. I hope you don't mind. I have two friends of mine on the line as well. They'll be quiet. But they may want to ask you some questions as well. My first friend is Scott Lemriel. He's been in both physical and telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 or 56 years. I lose count. And then the other gentleman is a gentleman named Orion Terrence Myers, who's also very spiritual, and he helps design my website and does filming of my events. So, but if that's okay. Thank you.
We're all here.
Okay. All right. Wonderful.
All right. Well,
Billy, thank you so much for coming on today. And I want to thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom and your wisdom with you of your father and family from the Hollow Earth as well. Is your dad there, by the way?
Well, he will be when I call him.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's great. That's great. That's great. Could you tell people a little bit about your background? And I know it's an amazing story what happened to you, but I think people would be really interested in hearing it for those who don't know you.
Okay. Well, back in 1951, me and my sister were brought to the surface on a mission to let the people know on the surface that the Hollow Earth does exist, and that the people in there are very concerned about the people on the surface of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But before that happened, Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd made a visit to our domain in 1947. That was back in February 19 of 1947. At that time, of course, the Arctic region was in blackness, and it was in what they call would be termed as Arctic night. And when his aircraft took off from Alert Base Alaska, Alert Base where they took off from to go into Hollow Earth, he was on his flight path. And he noticed that there was a glow ahead of his aircraft. Mm-hmm. And so he went ahead and went in to follow this glow, which was the Northern Lights. And he went on a little bit beyond that, and he discovered that he was more or less curving inward instead of flying straight. He was curving inward toward the Earth.
Wow, incredible.
And of course, the moon was shining behind him, a full moon. Bright full moon, but the ahead of him was the glow of a corona of a sun. So he was really confused at that point, but he continued traveling in the direction of the corona, and discovered that he was inside. He said the light was different there, that he couldn't see the moon anymore, but there was a light source that was hanging in the heavens, but it wasn't moving. And so he realized that he was somewhere that he didn't know where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly thereafter, some of our smaller craft, the Flugerads, came alongside of his aircraft, and they encircled his aircraft, and with a tractor beam, they seized the aircraft.
Oh my gosh!
And then they stayed with his aircraft until it got to the capital city of Eden in Hollow Earth,
mm-hmm.
and then of course his aircraft was lowered down. Like the engine stopped running, the aircraft was being lowered down as if an invisible elevator, straight down, and down on the spaceport there.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited him to exit his aircraft and come and meet with the Council of Hollow Earth, which he did.
Fascinating.
And when he walked in there, I was there. My father was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that kind of blows people's mind. I said, wait a minute, how can you have been there in 1947? It's very simple. Because my full age combined with the surface age is 1864.
My goodness, you don't seem a day over 40. No, seriously,
okay.
You sound young,
yeah.
But that's amazing. That's truly amazing. My goodness.
So that's why I'm saying I was there when Admiral Byrd stepped into the council chamber.
Wow.
And where he met with my father, mm-hmm. and he met with the rest of the council, mm-hmm. and they gave him a message to get back to the surface of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And that was that the earth is hollow. And that, and he was welcomed there because he was well known on the as a well known character on the surface of the earth,
mm-hmm.
which really shocked Admiral Byrd because he was beside himself, and it was hard for him to comprehend that he was actually inside the inside surface of the earth, and it just it was boggling his mind, so. To straighten him out, they went ahead and explained where he was, and that they weren't going to keep him long because he had a mission to give this message back to the people of the surface of the earth.
Wow, wonderful.
And he was given a set of vials, and in those vials was all the cures for all the diseases on the surface of the earth at that time. And that also included cancer and the other diseases that kill people.
Billy, I have to ask you, whatever happened to that file? How come people are still suffering on this planet?
Because they were put under wraps, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
too bad. It was a threefold message that the first part was that. The earth is hollow, and that the civilization living inside of it was very concerned for the people on the surface of the world.
Sure.
And the second part was medical, and that was the vials I was telling you about.
Sure.
And the third part was not to use atomic energy ever again.
Wow.
Because of the dire consequences of it.
Right.
And that was the threefold message that Admiral Byrd was given to give back to the people of the world. Of course, when he got back out to the surface of the world, and he went to Washington, they shut him up.
Oh, what a
shame.
They
said, "Do not talk about this, about your experience, about your meeting these people, the cures for all the diseases, and all this. and it was all duly noted, but it was also put under strictly top secret need-to-know basis. And so that was why me and my sister were asked to come to the surface
wow.
in 1951.
Wow, amazing.
Which we didn't hesitate. We went ahead and said, yes, absolutely.
Sure.
And, of course, they put us in these chambers that shrank our stature down from the height that we were down to that of toddlers. And so then we were brought to the surface and left there in a what's called a white elephant. It's a trash receptacle that is put out by military air bases in the local towns or the local cities near the air base. And that would have been Shepherd Air Force Base, which was located in Wichita Falls, Texas. So we actually left on top of the garbage in that receptacle.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, we started screaming our heads off.
Sure.
We were discovered by a park worker and a police person, a police woman, I believe it was. And so they took us to this orphanage, in the county orphanage, in just outside of Wichita Falls, Texas. And they put us there on the very top floor of basically the attic. And there was a room up there, and they had us under lock and key for a period of time because we were new, and therefore we were in what they call quarantine period of time
wow.
until we were cleared and then put into regular population with the rest of the kids. But while we were there, of course, we didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk the English language. We talked mind-to-mind communication.
Hmm. Fascinating. Wow.
Telepathy.
Wow.
So
mm-hmm.
we could speak with each other, but no one else could understand. We didn't talk out loud. So they assumed that we were dumb. They couldn't talk, and so they gave us a pad and pencil for us to write down what we would desire or whatever. And they had us in that room. And when we were in that room, we listened to the radio and we listened to the TV, which was a little a square box with a small screen about 7 to 8 inches
mm-hmm.
in diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was black and white TV.
Wow.
So we learned how to talk your language by watching that and listening to the radio. So a little while after that, we were adopted into an Air Force family.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward from there, I graduated high school at age 12. Age 12.
My goodness.
And after the age of 12, of course, I had my, certificate of graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work in the Five and Dime stocking shelves in the back because of my age. And but also, now, you have to understand also, I was also born what would be termed as hermaphrodite, which means I'm mm-hmm. both female and male in one body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, my measurements were 36, 24, 36,
mm-hmm.
Really, really built. Mm-hmm. I was 5'7"
mm-hmm.
at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working in the back. And at the time of a day or two, lunchtime, I walked next door. There was the military recruiting station there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there and inquired about the military. And they gave me a series of tests, which I maxed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to boil all this down. Bringing people up to date.
Sure. I understand.
So after I took these tests and they realized that I was qualified for everything they had, I went to, I was asked to, I said, well, you left off your age, and I put, well, I'm sorry, so I put 12 on there, and they looked at me, and they go, you're 12? And I go, yes. No way. You can't be 12, not looking like that. Wow. And I said, well, I'm 12 years old.
Wow, amazing.
So they contacted my adopted parents and asked them, and then they said, yes, 12 years old. So they said, well, you're going to have to wait a couple years before we can take you into the military.
Sure.
So I went in to the Air Force at age between 13 and 14.
My goodness.
And wow. And because of, and I did that because of my, not just because of my, you know, abilities, you know, smarts, but also because I was the, you know, the daughter of a Air Force major, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so they went ahead and they sent me to Lackland Air Force Base, mm-hmm. and I went ahead. I was there, graduated from that, and from there, I was given another battery of tests, which I also maxed, mm-hmm. and so they put me in officers. Officer school for the Air Force, and from that point, I graduated there, and they sent me to the Pentagon.
Wow, amazing.
So while I was at the Pentagon, I was there for about 6 months, mm-hmm. and they said, you are going to be sent to Nevada. You're going to be a commander of an underground facility there, and you have to be this rank. And they handed me these full bird, colonel bird.
My goodness.
And I'm going, you know, my understanding that I would have to go under for before a board and be reviewed and all this.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're bypassing all that.
You know, my dad was in the Army, and it took him 30 years to he retired as a full bird colonel too, and it took
yes.
but it took him 30 years to reach that rank.
I understand,
and
because he had to get, he went through the normal channels,
correct? Yeah,
to become an officer, full bird colonel.
Right.
I skipped, not because I wanted to, but they made me skip.
I'll be doggone.
All the way up to full bird, because they said in order for your position as base commander,
well,
you have to be this rank.
Wow.
So they made me that.
Well, this is such an incredible story, Billy. I don't want to cut you short. We've got about 12, 13 minutes left. I just wanted to tell you that. So, but then, then you were brought to Area 51, and you have an incredible story. What happened then?
Yes, Area 51 was quite a unique experience in the beginning, of course.
Yeah.
I was sent to Nellis Air Force Base, and they in turn drove me a staff vehicle from the base over to McCarran. Mm-hmm. And in McCarran, they had me board a turboprop aircraft that the windows were all blacked out. Mm-hmm. And we took off at 7:30 on a Monday morning. And we arrived about 45, 50 minutes later. And when I got off the plane, it was pitch black.
Wow.
I said, wait a minute. It's not dark. It can't be dark. I don't see no stars.
Sure.
And they said, no, you're inside of a mountain. Mm-hmm. So we disembarked the aircraft, got into a staff vehicle, and they took, from that point, they took us down to the briefing area, which was about approximately a mile down, and we came to a building. We had to strip off everything we had on, mm-hmm. because they had to decontaminate our bodies. Mm-hmm. And we went through two segments of that, and then finally we reached the level where I was supposed to be, and they had escorted me over to this office where this man was sitting in a chair, shaking like a leaf. He was just shimmering, all
wow.
shaking.
Wow.
He was scared to death.
Wow.
And he says, "I said, He stood up and he saluted me. I saluted him. He says, I'm here to relieve you. And he says, I am relieved. And he says, I've got to get out of here. You know? And I said, what's wrong? He says, you'll find out.
Oh, God. My goodness.
And then they escorted him under armed guard. They escorted him out.
Wow.
So I took his place.
Well, all be done.
And when I was sitting in this office, there was these folders on my desk,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of them. And I reached up on the top, took the one off the top, and it was Admiral Byrd's diary.
I'll be doggone.
That's the first thing I picked up while at my duty.
Well,
I picked it up and I looked through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that brought back memories.
Back again.
But,
yeah.
And, of course, and from that point. But to go further, I mean, I think we want to know. You want to tell your people that I'm going to be coming up to Seattle?
Well, yes. Actually, you'll be one of my speakers at my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month on June 10, 11, and 12. And I'm so happy you're coming, Billy, and you're bringing your father with you. I'm sorry for the shortness of time today. I'm trying to do a lot of things in the 2 hours I have on my show. But we've got about 8-9 minutes left, and I don't know if there's enough time, but I'd love to bring your dad in and just some words of wisdom from him. He was on my show a couple months
sure.
ago, and I loved
Absolutely.
Hearing him. Loved talking to your dad and you two and your mom. And if you wouldn't mind, I would love to hear some messages from him today as well.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Okay.
Indeed, beloved master, how be you this day?
Wonderful, sir. Zariah, it's so nice to have you on my radio show. Welcome to the outer earth.
I be what is termed Zora, not Zariah is my beloved.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apology, Zora. All right.
Indeed. Well, what would you like to know?
Well, many of my listeners, the purpose of my radio show is to raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. And
indeed.
And I think many people listening to this show today all over the world are asking the same questions. How can they make this planet a better place? And we'd love your advice. There's no censorship.
Well,
you can say anything you like.
First off, you must become fully harmonious with all of nature, all of each other. You do not wish to do what is termed as fight amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That is a ludicrous thing to do. Understand, the people of the Hollow Earth are very harmonious peoples.
Mm-hmm.
There is no war, there is no pestilence, there is no disease, there is no sickness. Everything is extremely pure and pristine inside.
Mm-hmm.
And also, which would be a surprise for your listeners, I'm going to give you a quick lesson on the planets in your galaxy, in your solar system.
Okay.
Now you understand that you have been taught through time and through school that the planets in your solar system all have different temperatures and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's all a lie.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Even the sun itself is a planet. It is not a star. It is a planet. It is hollow. It is known as Helios. And it is does show light to the planets, but it is also a planet itself.
Hmm.
The sun is not hot. Hmm. It is light, pure and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also a planet. When you see the images of the sun and you see dark blotches on the sun,
mm-hmm.
those dark blotches are not sunspots.
Hmm.
They are actually, you are actually seeing a great is a hologram.
Oh.
There is no such thing as fire, the sun being a ball of fire. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
It only appears that way because the shining ones, the population of the planet, do not want you there. So they are going to show you a ball of fire. But it is not.
This is fascinating. Wow.
Indeed. All of your planets in your solar system are hollow. As the Earth is hollow, so is the Moon, so is Mars.
Wow.
So is Venus. All of the planets in your solar system are hollow, and they have a subtropical interior.
Really?
Your planet does not have a molten core. It doesn't. It has a central sun, which is about 600 miles across, and it shines out to the polar openings of the northern Arctic region and the southern Arctic region, and you turn them as the northern lights and the southern lights.
Fascinating.
That is a reflection from the inner sun shining out to the polar openings, reflecting off of ice crystals known as crystalline, reflecting back to the Earth as a halo of light, and that is your northern lights.
Fascinating. Fascinating. One thing that you said on my show a few months ago was that we are all gods and goddesses. I remember
you
that.
You are. I will tell you why. Many of you, you read your Bible, yes?
Yes.
All right. If you go to the Old Testament, I'm speaking of the original scripture. You would refer to it as the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls, it so states that God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and with our powers and abilities. But that is not included in your Bible, because it denotes that you are gods.
Oh, wow.
At that point.
Wow, amazing.
In Matthew, where Jesus was talking to his disciples about healing, he says, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do, if you only believe that you can do it. Again, Jesus is stating that you are gods or goddesses.
Amazing.
Whatever the case may be. If you are female, a goddess. If you are male, you are a god. So, consequently, you have the same powers as God.
That's amazing. Just amazing.
It is amazing.
Wow.
A simple practice for you, all of you there, rub your hands together and take them apart about 18 inches and then bring them together slowly. As you do, you feel a pressure. Push your hands together and pull them apart and keep coming together as if you were pushing against a balloon. Keep coming together. It begins to get warm. That warm is your healing ability that is within you. Everyone walking this planet are healers.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Zora, we've got about a minute and a half left, but you know, you're so interesting. I normally at the beginning of my second hour, I make announcements, but you're so interesting, sir. Would you mind holding over for a few minutes? I'd like to give you a few more minutes at the beginning of my second hour, then go on to my next guest. I think you have a lot of very important things to tell everyone on this planet, and I feel bad. I don't want to cut you short today. I'll skip. We usually go to sports and weather. Weather and traffic, of course. A short news break. It'll be about 3 or 4 minutes past the top of the hour. And if you wouldn't mind holding on, then I'll have you back on, and I'll skip my announcements for the second hour and give you the time to talk, and then I'll go on to my other guests next.
Indeed,
hour.
We will continue where I left off.
All right, sir. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, interviewing Zora from the Inner Earth. And please stay tuned to the next hour. This will be truly an out-of-this-world interview. Please stay tuned, friends.